Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank God. Let's turn over to Romans. We've been talking about being led by the Spirit of God, and this has been our text. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." And we've been talking about that, that we are led by, as we're led by his spirit, he bears witness with our spirit. Verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." So we can all expect to be led by him as sons and daughters of God. There's not certain ones he picks out, says, "Well, I'm going to lead you." And then other ones that he just said, "Well, not today. Sorry, I don't want to lead you. You just are on your own. Good luck." He does not do that. He leads us all. We're sons and daughters of God. If we're in the family, then we're being led. Verse 15, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Verse 16, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." He bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And that's the same way he'll lead us and guide us in life. He'll bear witness with your spirit. He'll lead us with our spirit, not with our head. Not with our flesh. You don't get a feeling in your thumb. Say, "Yeah, I'm going with God." It's not there. It's not in your head. He's not going to bear witness with your head and say, "Yeah, it's all completely logical. I get it. We're on the right track. Let's go." No, he's going to bear witness with our heart, with our spirit, the part of us that's alive to God. And we've been talking about that. But before we say some more, let's go over to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verse 8. It says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." Now look at your sheet. In the New Living Translation, that same passage says, "The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey him. Shout for joy, all you whose hearts are pure." Well, verse 8, he says, "I will guide you along the best pathway for your life." The best one. Not second best. Not third best. Not 18th best. Not 79th best, the best pathway for your life. God said he would. If we'll listen to him, we'll go on the best pathway for our life. Best one. That good news?
Yeah.
What do we have to do? Just follow him. Just make sure we're listening to him, and it will be the best. He didn't say necessarily it would make the most sense to us, but when you look back, and if you've walked with him long enough, you see where you don't maybe understand some things when you're walking through it, but you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years down the road, you look back and go, oh yeah, that was the way I should have gone. But when you're walking, you may not see, well, that's the best. You may not understand everything, but he will lead us along the best pathway for our life. He said he'll advise us and he'll watch over us. Verse 10, it says, many sorrows come to the wicked. Many sorrows come to who? Whom? The wicked. Not the ones that are following him. Look into the next thing. But unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. Unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who, what? Obey him. Now, we went into this some yesterday, or last week, and we're going to stay on it this week, I believe. We talked about the fact that if we'll go after God and do what he tells us to do, there is blessing associated with that, not curse. In other words, we've gotten it twisted in our minds, even in word and faith circles, that if you step out and obey God, watch out. Devil's going to rise up. He's going to do all kinds of things, and all this stuff's happening left and right. But, you know, it's because I'm obeying God. That's not what the Word teaches. It does not teach that. But we've gotten it in our heads and been really duped by the enemy. Because people will be like, well, I mean, this is happening. I'm stepping out to believe God, but all this stuff has gone on because the devil's just doing all this. Does that sound familiar at all? If you've walked with God and been around circles, people say this type of stuff, and what they're really saying is God is more powerful, the devil's more powerful than God, than the Lord. You better watch out, because if God tells you to do something, the devil's just going to rise up. He's going to make your life miserable because, you know, you're trying to obey God. But we all know that can be really hard. That's not what the Word teaches. The Word teaches, and we're going to go into it again. We talked about it a little bit last week. But this is a lie. And so if you believe this, if you believe that it's just going to get really rough, then when it comes, you're not going to resist it. When things pop up, you're like, well, I'm obeying God, but here all this stuff comes. Or you'll think you missed God, and all this stuff comes. Well, guess I just blew it. No, there's right in the middle, if we'll obey Him and know that blessing follows that, then if something comes up, you're saying, no, I'm following God, this has got to go. This has got to get out of the way. This will change because there is blessing associated with Him. And this is what the devil does not want us to know. Because if we think, well, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to step out and obey God, but it's kind of like this. Here we go. I'm ready for the onslaught. It's just like, you know, you're going into it like this. Just got your flak jacket on, ready. That's not victorious. That's not trusting Him. That's not standing up and saying, I serve the Lord Almighty, I'm going forward, and it will be well with me. This is the way we're going, and God's going to protect us, and God's going to take care of us, and it will go well with me and my family. Totally different. It's more like this timidity that people are like, well, I'm going to obey God. Here we go. Oh, something popped up. Oh, well, I expected it. Now what are we going to do? And then pretty soon it's just like, well, we're obeying God, but look at this, and look at this, and look at this. I guess that's just our lot. I mean, if you're going to obey God, you got to be ready for this stuff. The enemy's going, ha-ha. Pulled the wool over another one's eyes. So what are we doing? We're accepting curse. We're accepting destruction in our lives. Now, I'm not saying if you obey God, you will never have another problem ever. The Word does not teach that either. But if we have things rise up against us, there's a difference between just thing after thing going wrong and having resistance. The devil will resist you if you're following God. No, don't even make any mistake about that. He will resist us because he's not going to just give up territory, whether it's in your life, your children's lives, the lives of a city or nation. He's not going to just say, oh, God sent them here, or God, they're getting a hold of the word in their life. Okay, guess it's time for me to leave. Been nice knowing you. He does not work that way. He is going to fight you tooth and nail to keep, the number one, the word out of your life. So you get a hold of the word, you start getting a hold of truth, you watch. He'll do everything he can to get you disconnected from the word. Disconnected from church. Disconnected from people that would bless you. You'll hear somebody, you know, you start getting a hold of some word and somebody's preaching it. Well, you know, you get it, maybe somebody, you know, on the internet or whatever. You don't be surprised when all of a sudden you start having thoughts about that person. Well, I don't like his hair. I mean, he's speaking well, but look at the way he's dressed. I don't think I like that. I don't think I can really receive from that. I'm going to go somewhere else. That's what he does. Stupid things. Just to get the word out of you. He doesn't want you being connected with the word because the word's what's going to change us. And so if you're obeying God and going forward and you're starting to move forward and change things in your life, change things for your family, obey him to go somewhere, he's going to rise up and try to convince you you're on the wrong track. You better turn around, buddy, because if you keep going here, it's destruction. And he will challenge you. He will draw the line in the sand, and don't try to bluff your way through it either. He will call your bluff. Think, well, I'm just going to talk faith when I'm not really convinced, but here I'll just try to bluff my way through it. He'll push you to where you have to stand on the word. You have to know what you believe, and you have to know what you're called to do. But he'll try to get you to say, forget it. I'm not going to do that. Too hard. But and if we're buy into the fact that we expect this, so that if I'm following God, I expect it to be like this all the time, then when it comes, you're not resisting and you're just like, well, this is the way it is. You at some point could say, forget it. I'm not willing to keep going and putting up with this. Because this, he'll tell you, it will never change. It's never going to be any different. It's going to be like this all the time. And it's a lie. I said, it's a lie. If we know that the word says that obeying him is blessing and that the righteous are blessed, then when that starts to come up, you are ready for it to come up, but you also know it has to go. It's got to get out of the way. And so if we know that and we're bold about it, it's like, yeah, I thought you were coming. There you are. Now get out of the way. You're going. You're going to move. Because the word, not because of us, not because we're so bad. Don't get in pride ourselves. Well, I know the word. I'm going to blah, blah, blah. No, we have God Almighty standing behind us in his word and saying, Satan, get behind me. Move. In the name of Jesus. And he has to go. I said he has to go. He has no choice. But we're going to spend a little bit of time just looking at some more word. Because we talked about it last week. But we're just going to pump ourselves full of the fact that it is blessed to serve him. And obeying him leads to blessing. Is that all right? So let's read this before we go on. Verse 10, it says, many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey him. So tell me again, what? Verse 10, many sorrows come to who? Whom? The wicked. The wicked. It's not supposed to be many sorrows coming to the righteous. Let's turn over to John 10. We don't have time to go over. I'm not going to repeat everything we went over last week, but look up Deuteronomy 28. Just mark it down and look at Deuteronomy 28. Look at the verse, 20-some-odd verses. The first 15 are saying all the things that are going to happen to those that obey God. You're going to be blessed here. You're going to be blessed there. You're going to be blessed. This is going to be blessed. That's going to be blessed. And then it gets to what happens if you disobey him, and it's totally the opposite. No, you're going to be cursed. You're going to be cursed. But notice, blessing follows those who obey. Go back and look at that. We don't have time to go there again today. John 10:10. Let's go back, actually. Verse 10, let's just go on verse 10. It says, the thief comes. He's giving an illustration about a sheepfold. And he says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But verse 10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But notice what it says about, Jesus says about himself, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it, what? More abundantly. Who comes to steal, kill, and destroy? The enemy. He's the one that's going to try to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will do it if we're stepping out to follow God. He is going to try to make it come to pass in our lives. Now, if we don't know the difference that God's good, God's the one that has blessing for us and that will help us, and that evil, that Satan is trying to destroy us, then if we're following God and these things come, we are going to be convinced that somehow God has let us down, and that's there, and I just have to put up with it, and we won't push back on it. We'll say, this is the way it is. If we don't have it just clearly, completely, I mean, this right here is so simple, a three-year-old could understand it. And we do put these type of things into the three-year-olds back there. But it's basically, God's good, the devil's bad. If God's good and the devil's bad, if I'm following God, I would expect what? Good or bad?
Good.
If I'm following the enemy, I would expect what? Good or bad?
Bad.
Now, why is it that in our circles we have, God, be honest with yourself right now, because you know, if you've walked around, you've heard it, that something is telling you, if I obey God, just don't know. Just don't know what's going to happen. How many have you have heard? It's been said for years. You know, if I give my life over to God, he might send me to Timbuktu, and I don't know, I'm going to have to live like this. I don't want. I have to give up everything. What does that sound like? That sounds like somehow you're going to be cursed or go without if you serve God. So it's better to just stay over here and, you know, not serve him, right? Right? That's what the connotation is. It's like, I'm just not sure that if I really gave everything over to him and did what he told me to do, number one, I don't want to give myself over to him because I don't know what he's going to tell me to do, and I'm scared of what he's going to tell me to do. Why? Why? Where did this come from? Does that make, with what we're saying right now, if you were to tell a three-year-old what we just said, and then ask them this question, so, should you serve God or the devil? What would they say? Would they hesitate at all? They'd be saying, why are you asking me this? God, he's good. The devil's bad. Why wouldn't you follow him? He's good. But why is it in our life that somehow it's been twisted into us that we're if I serve him, if I do what he's telling me to do, even if you've walked with him for a while, when God, you know what God's telling you to do, the devil will try to tell you, you do that, it's over. You're just cutting your own throat. You don't know if he's going to come through for you. And I mean, the devil, he's a persistent And he will come back, even if you've seen God come through again and again and again. He'll tell you the next time you do that, you follow him, he's not coming through for you. It's a lie. It is a bold-faced lie, but he'll try to push us to accept that. And it's not true. The enemy is the one that's destroying. The enemy's trying to come through, and he does not. So you may say, well, sure, it's good to follow God, but the enemy's just, he's going to come in and try to resist, so he's just going to do what he wants. Not so again. He will try to do stuff. That's why we have to be convinced that he has no right to do it when he does raise his ugly head, and when he will try to manipulate circumstances. He has people that he can influence. But we can't say, well, the devil's just stirring up everybody. He may do that, but he can't prevail. He can't prevail against us. We have to say, yeah, this is what you're doing. You're stirring up stuff, and you got to go because I'm following him. We have to know that because he will do this over and over. You're following God, and he's gonna try to stir up stuff. We have to know that following God is the best pathway for our lives and that it will be good. Now, we're going to read some more scripture. Let's go back over into the Psalms. Praise God. Psalm 112. Let's go there. Psalm 112, verse 1. Everybody there? It says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. That doesn't mean you run away from him. That means you reverence him. That means you honor him. That means if he tells you to do something, you're going to do it. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. That means you're ready to do what he tells you to do. You're saying, that's what I want to do. Happy to do it. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked, who? The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. We're going to read that in another translation here in just a moment. But we're talking about this in context of being led by the Spirit of God. Because we have to know when we're following Him, we have to discern. We've been talking about how to be led by Him, by your Spirit. We can't determine the will of God because things start happening in our lives that look like opposition and say, it is God. Or it isn't God. You can't use that as a litmus test. Because you see, Paul had opposition. If you go read the New Testament, how much opposition Paul the Apostle had. Things happened to him, but he would just get right up. He was like the Energizer Bunny. They would hit him, stone him, beat him, and he would pop up and go right on. They could not stop him. He couldn't say Paul was not led by God because he had stuff happen to him, right? We know he was led by God. But Paul didn't say, well, you know, I expect this to be cursed. There's a difference between persecution and curse. Don't mix up the two. The Bible says you will be persecuted if you live right. If you preach the gospel, that's different than having disease. That's different than having your relationships ripped apart, your business destroyed. The Bible says you will be blessed in all those areas if you follow him. It does, but on the other hand, it doesn't say you're not going to suffer persecution. Those are two different things, though, and we've muddled them. Well, look at Paul. Yeah, Paul had persecution. But if he was sickly, as some people thought he would, think he would, there's no way he could have done what he did. Most people that are healthy couldn't have survived what he survived, let alone that he was some sick person that some religious theologians would have you believe. That's nonsense. Man got beat up, he got left in the sea, he got beat with rods, he got stoned to where he was thought dead, probably. But that's not the same as not having your needs met, that your family is, you know, completely ripped apart, that your business isn't going well. No, we're reading right here that if you follow God, you're going to be blessed. Let's look at this in the New Living Translation. So when we're following God and believing that he's leading us, we can't have this mindset that if stuff starts happening, that means it's not the will of God. We just have to know that the enemy always tries to attack us with certain things. And we have to know to resist it, come against it in the name of Jesus, and walk through it. And be fully convinced that God is behind us. Verse 1, the New Living Translation there on your sheet, Psalm 112, 1, says, "Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commandments or his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere." You that are parents, how do you like that? Be successful everywhere. "An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves..." Now, this is the person that's following God, okay? This is what the Bible says about him. "They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them." Notice that. Don't fear something rising up because you're like, well, God's going to take care of me. He's got this, and we're going through. Big difference between cowering and saying, well, I don't know, you know, what's the devil going to do? This is not the picture of fear. Verse 8, "They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor." Amen. Amen. Turn over to Psalm 1. Praise God. Psalm 1. Now, if you didn't hear last week's message, you need to hear last week's message. I'm not repeating the things we went through. We're just building on that. So go get it off the website. Psalm 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the pathway of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Amen. Now look at, we could go down. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the right way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. How is this? The world tells you the opposite. It's the ungodly that are going to prosper. But you start serving God, it's backwards, and there is a god of this world, Satan, that has propagated these lies. But verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. You're hooked up to the source. You're hooked up to the Almighty. You're doing what he told you to do. And whatever you do is prospering. Whatever you do is blessed. That's what the Word tells us. Go over to, let's look on your sheet there for Jeremiah. It says, Jeremiah 17:7. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like, it's very similar here, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green. It will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Notice that. Stuff's coming. The heat's coming. The drought's coming. But it says, the man who trusts in the Lord, he's going to be like this plant, the tree planted by the water. He's not going to care. He's not going to fear when the heat comes because he's planted by the source. Amen. And if you're where God told you to be, you can look around and people are falling left and right, but you're right here and you have plenty because the source is running right with you. Amen. Notice it runs right where you've, in the will of God. If you are planted somewhere else, it's not there. But planted, he said, the one who fears the Lord, trusts the Lord, he is hooked up with him. That is the best place to be. It's twisted what we've been told. It's like, well, if you go there, it may be hard. But what it's saying is, if you go there, that is the center of security. It's the center of blessing. He said it won't. He won't be anxious in the year of drought. Stuff looks like it's bad all around. But the man who trusts the Lord, he's not going to cease from yielding fruit. Turn over to Psalm 128. These are good scriptures just to go over and look, keep before you. Psalm 128. Psalm 128, verse 1 says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. You know, it's okay. It's okay to be right in the center of God's will and have a smile on your face. You know, your face doesn't have to be all crinkled up. Somebody asks you how it's going. Oh, brother, serving the Lord. Tell you what, it's rough sometimes. People get this it's, and it's religion. And it's exactly the way the enemy wants us to be. Like, you know how it is. Spend one of those weeks, devil's on my tail. You know, one man said, caveman said, "I got the devil on the run. Another preacher said, oh, that's awesome. He goes, the only trouble is I'm running and he's on my tail. That's the way a lot of people are. Like, yeah, the devil's going to get me. I had this happen and this happened. You know, I'm serving God, but man, it's just rough. It's just rough. It's what? It's rough. People say this. They wonder why it's bad. It's just hard serving God. Really? Are we reading the Bible or not? It does not say this. That contradicts what we're reading. It says, if we serve Him, blessing, happy, going well, children blessed, rich. Does not look like this mentality. It's a package of goods. It's the devil has sold people. Just ring the doorbell, put it on your step, and see if you can buy it. And there's a whole lot of people that have said, well, it's hard. Just hard if you serve God. Man, if you're gonna really get in, really gonna serve Him, man, it's just gonna be hard. Nonsense. You can be happy. It says here, what? Listen to this. Look at this. What does it say that will happen? We need mind renewal in this area. Blessed, look back to verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. That means you're like, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm gonna do it. I'm happy to do it. What do you want me to do, sir? It said, everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His way, when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be what? Happy. Is that okay? Yeah. Is it okay to be serving God and to walk around just happy? Yeah. You know what some people think? This is how messed up it is. I'll tell you, I've walked in this all my life. I've been around Word and Faith circles. Grew up in them. They think, Because we've heard that you have what you say. You believe what you say. You say it. Because some people will just put on a show. And it's true. Some people just, they'll say something. They'll say they're not really believing, but they're going to talk, quote unquote, faith. But it's not real faith. It's nonsense. And so they give it a bad name. But because of that, there are some people that if you say it's going well, they think you're just putting on. That if you say, you know, that you're just talking faith. People have gotten so far to where they think if you actually say, yeah, it's going well. Oh, you're just talking faith. You know it's going bad because if you're serving God, you know it's just like me. It's not going well. Has anybody else found that out? How far is that from the truth that we go so far that if somebody tells you it's going well, that they think you're lying? If you're serving God. Really? If you're serving God, and we experienced that when we came out here, we would talk to certain people and we'd say, it's going well. We're happy. Really? You're happy? I mean, really, you could hear it in people's voice. You're just trying to talk faith. No, we really like it. Our family really is doing well. Our marriage really is better than ever. Nah, you're just... Just be real. Seriously, just be real, people say. You just be real about it. So what are we saying? We really expect if you are serving God, going to do what you're doing for the Lord, we expect it to be bad. That is warped. But that's how subtle the devil is. He's gotten in and somehow made it that we can't really expect blessing and to be happy if you're in the middle of God's will. That's nonsense. It's a lie. But not here. If you know, we should be looking at each other. Now, we don't want to put on a show either. This is where we got here. Because people say, yeah, it's going well. And they are miserable. Okay? There's a difference between saying what you don't have to go through all the issues. You don't have to tell somebody, well, there's this and that. No, that's not going to help anybody. But you know, if you know somebody and you're close to them, you can tell them, you know what? And you've heard me say this before. You talk to them on the phone. Well, how's it going? Well, tell me again how God meets all my needs. Can you tell? Just let me hear some scripture about how God meets all my needs. Because I need to hear it right now. That's all you need to say. You don't need to say, well, there's this. That, because you'll get the other person down. You start saying, well, this happened, and then this happened, and then this, and the other person, if they're not watching, you both are going to be in the tank. There's no use in that. Now, if you have to say, you know what, I need agreement in this, tell me about this because I'm facing a challenge in this, go into faith mode talking about what the Word says. No, the Word says that you're going to be blessed, that your children are going to be okay. That's what the Word says. So that's what we're going to focus on. But don't be surprised then if somebody, you call them up and say, yeah, it's going great. No, really, how's it going? See, that's not going to fly either. That's not, we shouldn't be saying that. We should say, great. Glad to hear it. Verse 2. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around the table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Let me just see a picture of health and happiness. A family that actually gets along. Is that possible? Yes, it's possible. The Word says it. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. Is it possible to get along and be in the center of God's will? Yes, it is. It's supposed to be like that because in verse 4 he says, behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. If we're being led by Him and doing what He tells us to do, we should expect blessing. We should expect good things. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn over to one more. Psalm 34. Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen. God is so good. He's so good. He is so good. He's a good God all the time. He's taking care of us. He's taking care of every one of us. We expect Him to. Amen. Psalm 34, verse 8. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is what?
Good.
He's good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Amen. Let's read that again. To taste and see that the Lord is good, blessed, blessed, blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Notice, it's not saying that stuff is just going to go horrible when you trust in God. No, over and over we've read it. We're blessed when we trust in Him. We're blessed when we do what He tells us to do. We're blessed when even though we don't understand, we obey Him. We fear Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. Or no lack to those who fear Him. Verse 10, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Amen.
Amen.
Not lack any good thing. Not lack any good thing. So what if you believe you're following God and lack is showing up? We say, well, I guess that's the way it is. I mean, it's tough serving God. Or do we say, no, this contradicts. Although real, we're not denying something is there. Okay? Doesn't do any good tonight. No, this is the circumstance, but this contradicts what is in the Word of God. Something has to change. And God's not the one that's going to change. So what's got to change? This circumstance has to change. I will not accept this result. This will change. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. God said that we're going to be blessed, 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 blessed. So I'm going to expect blessing. Satan, you get out of my life. I'm not dealing with any lack. This will turn around. I will prosper. The Bible we read that everything we set our hands to will prosper. So this is going to prosper. The game just isn't over yet. It might look like lack, but it's going to prosper.
Amen.
It's going to change. My children are blessed.
Amen.
Well, it looks like they're going off in the weeds. Yeah, but the Bible says that they're blessed. And it's going to go well. So it's got to change. I'm going to keep on it. Not going to accept it. Well, That's just the way it is. You know, you serve God, your children are just liable to go off in the weeds. You know people believe that too?
Yeah.
Don't buy that lie. Well, if you serve God, I mean, you know, just the kids, they just sometimes they just run away from God. No, the Bible says you train them up in the way that they should go, and they won't depart from it. It's a lie. It's a fear. Glory to God. He is good, and it pays to serve Him. Amen.